So as I mentioned last week, during this Christmas season, we're just going to use one section of Scripture, probably the quintessential Christmas story that we find in the Gospel of Luke, oft repeated during the Christmas season, the story of Jesus' birth, as told by Luke the physician, who, as we saw last week, investigated things. He talked to eyewitnesses. He witnessed things himself. And he wrote the story as it happened. Many people look at Luke as, I think he's been called the first modern historian. But he really is investigating. And so the story that he brings us is as it happened, as reported to him by people who actually saw the things that happened. Now, my intention in using this 20 verses from the beginning of chapter 2 of the Gospel of Luke is to slow down our reading of this familiar text. To avoid skimming in our understanding and instead to try to plumb its depths a little deeper. Anybody else guilty? You don't have to raise your hands. I'm going to raise my hand for you. But even those of you who have committed to doing these devotionals every day during the Christmas season, December 1 through 25, ever find yourself on a day when you're thinking about the rest of the things coming, but by golly, I'm going to read this devotional, skimming the Scripture part? And then reading the devotional part, yeah. See, I'm guilty of that sometimes too. Which is kind of silly, right? I mean, the most important stuff in there is the stuff that comes from God's Word. Other people are just reflecting on that. Probably a good idea to put more attention on the Scriptures, even if it means a little less attention on what folks like me and some of our other folks have written. Although that's good stuff too. All right. So what we want to do is not do that in our messages during this Christmas season, even though we're looking at what is perhaps the most familiar Bible story regarding Christmas in the whole Bible. All right. Then what we want to do is to reverse the process of the old adage about familiarity breeding contempt. Yeah, we don't want that to happen. Now, my thesis in all of this is that Christmas, an authentic Christmas, a Jesus Christmas, is simply divine. I think this is something that Luke brings out for us very well. And we're going to use different prepositions, those handy little connecting words, relationship words of the English language, to show that Christmas here and now and God above and everywhere and forever are beautifully bound together. And in the English language, words that we use to bind things together are prepositions. There's other ones, but prepositions work rather well. And if you don't remember what prepositions are because, you know, seventh grade English was a long way off for you, words like by, of, under, from, for, with, words that describe relationships between a couple of things, prepositions. So last week, it was Christmas by God. Later, we'll look at Christmas under, from, for, and with God. This week, it's Christmas of God, with special emphasis on the wonder of divine humility. This is a time of year that we get to get out those special CDs. I know CDs, it's old news, right? It's all music services now. But I like being able to touch stuff. I like reading books where you can actually turn the pages yourself rather than do this on your device. I know it's old world. I'm an old guy. What can I say? But I like getting out the CDs. And we have a whole bunch of Christmas CDs. We've just collected them over the years. And I love them all. And the challenge for me is trying to play all of them every Christmas, which I never can do, because I have some favorites I want to play several times. One of the CDs we listen to is by a group called Pentatonix. Ever heard of those guys?
Yes.
Modern singing group. Really incredible musicians, incredible vocalists. They have, I think it might have been their first Christmas album. The title is That's Christmas to Me. It's the album title. And they have a song that's called That's Christmas to Me. And I'm going to read the words to you. The fireplace is burning bright, shining all on me. You'll hear a lot of me's in this song. Sorry, it's just what it is. I see the presents underneath a good old Christmas tree. And I wait all night till Santa comes to wake me from my dreams. Oh, why? because that's Christmas to me. I see the children play outside like angels in the snow, while mom and daddy share a kiss under the mistletoe. And we'll cherish all these simple things wherever we may be. Oh, why? Because that's Christmas to me. I've got this Christmas song in my heart. I've got the candles glowing in the dark. I'm hanging all the stockings by the Christmas tree. Oh, why? Because that's Christmas to me. Oh, the joy that fills our hearts and makes us see. Oh, why? Because that's Christmas to me. I've got this Christmas song in my heart. I've got the candles glowing in the dark. And then for years to come, we'll always know one thing. That's the love that Christmas can bring. Oh, why? Because that's Christmas to me. Isn't that wonderful? You'll notice not a whole lot about what we would call the reason for the season, right? It's a nice song, and it's amazing singing. I recommend it. Go get a pentatonic CD if you like good choral singing. Silly words. It's an honest and artistic expression, I think, of the postmodern, deconstructionist, built-to-suit reality, personally determined truth, man-centered, radically individualistic thinking of our age. You'll have to go back and listen to the tape to pick all that up. I'm not going to repeat it. And here is my deeply sensitive, kind, and caring response to this song. Who cares what Christmas means to you? I want to know what Christmas actually means. Which, by the way, I think is an extremely countercultural statement that I've just made. When Liam, who I guess is out with the children, your little brother, was very small and just learning to speak, he somewhat famously, during this season, would come into the room, maybe where the tree lights were on or there were decorations or something, and I remember him saying, "I see Christmas." Now, I'm not sure that he really at that point, at the yet 1 or 2 years old, really understood what Christmas is all about, but boy, he could see it. And I want to find a reality to match his pure childlike enthusiasm. I see Christmas. That's what I want for us this month, to see Christmas, the real thing. And when it is the reality of Christmas we are seeing, the real Christmas of God, a Jesus Christmas, what appears at the center is the wonder of divine humility. Our text for today is from the second chapter of Luke. I'm going to begin reading at the beginning of the chapter and read through verse 7 today. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that you would give us some new insight and appreciation and wonder at this familiar part of our Christmas story that we share every year. Lord, lead us as you will and give us courage to follow. And we pray this in your name and for your sake. Amen. Well, today we're going to focus on verses 6 and 7. And our theme for today is a Jesus Christmas is a Christmas of God. What do I mean when I use this particular preposition, of? It's a very small word, but it has a wide range of meanings, about 20 in Webster's. Here are a few. Of, a point of reckoning, like north of the lake. Origin or derivation, a man of noble birth. Cause, motive, or reason, died of flew by plays of Shakespeare. On the part of, very kind of you. The component materials, parts or elements or the contents. Throne of gold, cup of water. The whole that includes the part denoted by the preceding word, most of the army. A whole or quantity from which a part is removed or expended, gave of his time. Relating to, about, stories of her travels. In respect to, slow of speech. Belonging or a possessive relationship, king of England. A particular example belonging to the class denoted by the preceding noun, the city of Rome. Apposition, that fool of a husband. The object, I got these right out of the dictionary. The object of an action, love of nature. A characteristic or distinctive quality or possession, a woman of courage. Before, quarter of ten. How about the phrase bowl of bread? Well, it could be a bowl filled with bread. Got a big bowl and it's got bread in it. Of, meaning containing, filled with. But what about the bowl of bread you can get at a bakery restaurant? French bread hollowed out and filled with soup. Of, meaning the stuff out of which the thing is made. Let's take a pair of phrases that may be enlightening for us. Man of God. Woman of God. This is a man or a woman with certain qualities. It could be of, meaning belonging to God. It could be of, meaning representing God or like God. He or she shows God somehow, points people toward God. Compare to the phrase we find in our Pledge of Allegiance. One nation under, that's another preposition, under God. Meaning, well, God is up here, nation is down here. God is higher than nation. God rules over nation. This part of the pledge has become somewhat controversial these days. Some folks believe it has little or no meaning and is an unacceptably manipulative and coercive imposition of theistic belief on those who choose not to believe in such a thing as God. I tend to agree with the atheists concerning the lack of meaning for this phrase, under God, but for an entirely different reason. Under God is a statement of mere fact that in the final analysis offers no insight into the character and nature of a nation, other than the fact that we are willing to mention God in our pledge, which I think is a good thing. God is up here. Nation is down here. That is true of every nation that is, or ever has been, or ever will be. Good nation, evil nation, righteous and just nation, unrighteous and unjust nation, nation of freedom, nation of bondage, all of them are under God. Ah, but one nation of God? Now we're saying something about the nature and character of that nation. It resembles God. It models God's values. It relates to other nations as God would do. It sets about the purpose of accomplishing God's purposes. We, by the way, don't live in such a nation. And despite what patriotic romanticists may say, no American ever has. This, by the way, was also true of Israel, the one nation under God that was established by him on earth to be his special divinely appointed political organization on earth. His people never could quite cooperate with him truly to be a nation of God. And they had all kinds of extra special divine help. And now we come to Christmas. Christmas, the real Christmas, is of God. In all the ways we've discussed, Christmas is filled with God. Christmas is made out of God. Christmas belongs to God. Christmas represents God. And Christmas is like God. It shows us something of God and points us to Him. What does Christmas show us of God? Well, there are many realities, I think, to choose from. Let us focus on one that is particularly amazing and countercultural. Christmas shows us the wonder of divine humility. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. By the way, what's a manger? Yeah, it's a feeding trough. So, this is one of those words that when we hear manger, we think cradle, we think, oh, that's where Jesus came. And unless you're a farmer or a rancher, you don't realize that you're saying this is a feeding trough. This is a bunch of wood kind of thrown together with hay inside of it for some large animal to eat out of. And laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. I see Christmas. Do you see it? It is a Jesus Christmas. And so it is not at its core a Macy's Parade Christmas spectacular Christmas. Dazzling, expansive, and demanding the attention it depends upon. The real Christmas, Jesus Christmas, is not that. This real Christmas is full of wonders, and especially the wonder of divine humility. For God, who made time, the time came, we're told in verse 6. What kind of God places himself squarely under and within the limitations of what he has made and rules over? Well, the Almighty God of humility beyond our comprehension. The God of Christmas, who brings us the Christmas of God. For her to give birth, verse 6. For her to give birth. What kind of God, after making all space that there is made by him, confines himself to a particular point within it no bigger than a typical human baby? The Almighty God of humility beyond our comprehension. The God of Christmas, who brings us the Christmas of God. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. Alien races come to Earth in the movies, not in real life that I'm aware of, although I live in Nevada, so I should be, right? Alien races come to Earth in the movies in giant spaceships or using fantastic technologies demonstrating their superiority. Moms, how many of you would be happy to lay your newborn in something like that cast-off, sorry, no vacancy, barnyard manger bed? This is humble even for a normal person. What is God doing here? Well, he's expressing himself. He's showing us who he is. He's revealing his eternal character as he sets about accomplishing his redemptive purposes. This is Christmas. The Christmas. Christmas of God. This is Christmas, and Jesus is at the center of it all. Jesus, God himself coming down. The wonder of divine humility wrapped in human flesh. I see Christmas. Do you see it? It was, it is, it will always be a Jesus Christmas. So what? So I'm going to have a little response section here, like in our devotionals through December. Here's an idea. How do we respond? Meditate more than just today on the wonder of divine humility revealed in the first Christmas and remembered every year in songs, stories, and sermons. As we see more of God, we will see more of Christmas. And as we see more of Christmas, we will see more of God. and we will be drawn in to worship him. Here's another idea. Ask God to show you some way you could follow after Jesus in his humility in this season of the Christmas of God. Some way you could crucify your pride and place yourself lower than you deserve rather than up high where you naturally think you belong in relation to others. And if God answers your prayer, do what he says. Here's another idea. Share in and appreciate what is small and humble in this Christmas season. It is there that we may just see the real Christmas of God. Amidst all the seasonal dazzle and hype, it is here that we may best embrace and declare the authentic Christmas, which is a Jesus Christmas. Share and appreciate things like a kind word from or to a stranger. I see Christmas. A moment reading a daily Christmas devotion and offering its prayer. I see Christmas. Singing a good Christmas hymn in church and being attentive to its words. How about this one? Infant holy, infant lowly. Infant holy, infant lowly, for his bed a cattle stall. Oxen lowing, little knowing, Christ the babe is Lord of all. Swift are winging, angels singing, Noel's ringing, tidings bringing. Christ the babe is Lord of all. Christ the babe is Lord of all. Flocks were sleeping, shepherds keeping vigil till the morning new. Saw the glory, heard the story, tidings of a gospel true. Thus rejoicing, free from sorrow, praises voicing, greet the morrow. Christ the babe was born for you. Christ the babe was born for you. Well, let's stand and sing that hymn together. You can find it in your hymnal. It's number 216. Or you can look at the screen in front of you.